Let me flick to it. Luke chapter 1. Is it up there? Yep. Verses 26. It's on your page 710 if you've got the Bibles. Down on the bottom there on the left. So Luke chapter 1 verses 26 to 38. Let's read God's word. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to the virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Now we're going to go to chapter 2, verse 41 to 52, which is on the next page. 241. Okay, here we go. This is a story about the boy Jesus at the temple. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it, thinking he was in their company. They traveled for a day, then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why are you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew up in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is God's word.
Well, good morning, friends. My name is Ray Galea, one of the pastors here at St. Albans MBM. Great to have you with us. Isn't it great to gather on Christmas Day? Yeah, you sound like you're enthusiastic. Now, who hasn't opened their presents yet? I have one word for you, and that is self-control. How do you do it? We opened them last night. So, since you haven't opened your presents yet, I better get on with the sermon, eh? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much. We love the fact that even within our culture, there's a day set aside to remember what is worthy to be remembered every moment of every day. And that is you, Lord Jesus, the Son of God, has become flesh and has remained human, permanently siding with us. We want to say thank you, Lord. And we pray today will be the day that as we look at your word, that those who have not yet crossed the line and taken the hand of Jesus will do so. And that they would indeed be born again on the day that you, Lord Jesus, were born. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was looking in the mirror this morning and I'm thinking, you know how a Christian's supposed to be more and more like Jesus? I'm looking at the mirror and thinking, I'm looking more and more like Santa Claus. Bigger and grayer. It's not good. Some time ago, I was having trouble trying to hear one of my teenage children, and I was thinking, maybe my hearing's going. And my wife said to me, it's interesting, Ray, because you are turning the radio up a lot lately. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe I've got my hearing's going, you know, because as you know, with every year, you get to my age, another year, another specialist. So I go to the ear, nose and throat specialist, and he checks me out, and he says to me, no, Ray, you've got very good hearing. I said, really? I said, my child, I'm really finding it hard to understand what they're saying. And the doctor said, well, you need to go and tell your teenager to speak clearly and enunciate well. I said, oh, great, I'm right, she's wrong. They're wrong, I'm not stipulating the sex of that child. Otherwise, I've got to pay $5 because I didn't check for the illustration. Now, friends, it's our senses that allow us to enjoy relationship with each other. Our eyes, our ears, the words we hear, the words we speak, the things that we see allow us to have relationship with each other. That's why God often speaks of himself in the Old Testament, especially as a God who hears with his ears and sees with his eyes and speaks with his mouth. And yet you and I know that God does not have an eyeball with a retina in it. He doesn't have an ear with a cochlear in it and an eustachian tube. I had to look up Google for that. He doesn't have a throat with an epiglottis. I think that's the thing that's dangling down. I could be wrong. He doesn't have the kind of apparatus that you and I have so that we can see and hear and touch and speak. Well, he didn't have, of course, those things until that first Christmas day. When the second person of the Holy Trinity, remember, God is one, but he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The second person of the Holy Trinity on that first Christmas day became human. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that we children of men could become children of God. God eventually got his own eyeball, ears, baby ears, and mouth, and so on. And it happened when God came to earth on that first Christmas day. Now, that's not technically correct. What's wrong with that? God became a human on that first Christmas day. I've got a bag of lollies here. If someone gives me the answer to that question, you will get the bag of lollies. What was that? Why are you saying that, Lynn? Okay, right. Well, there wasn't a Christmas day, but on that day, let's say the day he was born, that's what I was meaning. What's wrong with the statement that God became a man when he was born? Shane? Became a man. Shane Biglioni, you are the warden treasurer, but you are getting the lollies. And for all the hard work you do on the building, along with Steve Drew, who doesn't cheat on his university exams. That's exactly right. I think it's the Chinese, but I could be wrong. They date their life not just from birth, but from conception, which makes me 50, unfortunately. So I'm still going on the Western tradition. I'm still 49. Now, sure, the conception of Jesus when he was conceived in the womb is very different from your conception. Your conception happened because mum and dad got together and 9 months later, out you popped. In the case of Jesus, the Holy Spirit overshadowed the virgin, the womb of a virgin, Mary, and a child was conceived. But from that moment on, that child grew, Jesus grew and developed in exactly the same way as you grew and developed from your conception. So let me remind you what happens. From conception, when that moment happened, I think we've got a picky. Thanks, Rob. From that moment, from the conception, now that happened the usual way, I think you can see there. But from the moment of conception, Jesus would have had his 23 chromosomes and his 50,000 odd genes, and I'm not talking Levi there. At 5 weeks, Jesus would have had ears, nose, lips, and a tongue beginning to be formed. If you look very closely, not perhaps from this photo, you can actually see them. They're starting to look more human than alien. That's 5 weeks, isn't it? Sorry, I apologize. At 5 weeks, go back. At 5 weeks, Jesus is about 1.5 centimeters long, about the size of a kidney bean. His heart now is regularly beating. At 2 months, which actually I think the previous photo looked clearer, but if you look, you have to imagine it with me. You can actually see there, his ears, his nose, his lips, his tongue are beginning to be clearly formed. He looks, perhaps with a better photo than that one, he actually looks more human than alien. At 4 months, or 4.5 months, his brain starts to mature. By this stage, he's giving mum a few kicks in the ribs or in the womb. At about 6 months, that's 5 months even. Look at that, how clearly formed you would have been. At about 6 months or 5 months, he's starting to pull faces in the womb. Now, there was no ultrasound then, so the only person who saw that was his father in heaven. And then at, what's the next one? Even before that, at 7 months, four out of his five senses are starting to work. So hearing is happening. He's got his sight, he's got his taste, he's got his touch. The only sense that's not happening is his speaking. And so he could actually speak the word of God, but Jesus couldn't, he could hear his mother speaking through the womb. He just couldn't speak the words himself. And then at 9 months, Jesus goes public and is given born. And there awaits him 1,000 angels praising, a group of really excited shepherds who are thrilled, and eventually a bunch of magi from the west, east, worshipping him. Jesus goes public. Let me pick it up, Luke 2, verse 5. He, Joseph, went there to Bethlehem to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, you've got to understand, Jesus' birth would have been a normal birth, which meant mum would have been in agony. You've yet to meet a woman who gives birth without pain. She would have been exhausted. You can be guaranteed it was a natural birth. There wasn't any pethidine or epidural to help mum along. And I tell you, it's not any easier giving birth to the Son of God than it is to Ray Galea. They're both hard. The Son of God is becoming human in every way. We've seen that he starts to develop ears, hands, mouth, ears. He has a real body in a real human but frail body like yours. As a baby, he would have felt hunger. He would have needed sleep. He would have cried for his mother's milk. That's right. If he gave birth to Jesus, ladies, he still would have cried and kept up at night. He would have had a pooey nappy. I'm getting blunt now. Just like that pooey nappy I saw in the car park last week. I'm still having nightmares from that one. He had to learn to be toilet trained. My job when the kids were babies was to clean nappies. I lived in the pre-disposable age. Actually, I think there were some disposable, but I didn't want to spend the money. As you'd clean the nappies, you know, from you'd have terry toweling nappies. As I was cleaning them, occasionally I think of Joseph and wondered whether he cleaned the nappies of Jesus, because real men change nappies. I've got to tell you that. Jesus was born not just as a human, but as a male. He was circumcised, and which meant he, let me be blunt again, he had a penis. Luke 2, verse 21, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. 30% of men in the world today are circumcised. Some of you are here today. Good to have you with us. Jesus was just like you. I'm purposely being blunt because I want you to get this into your head. Jesus was fully human. As a baby, he was carted around until finally he could walk. He was carried. He was breastfed. He was burped. He vomited. In that order. Well, probably not in that order, as you know. You can sometimes carry them and then they vomit. He had flatulence. In Maltese, it's called bus. I think Amber and Eddie call it trumpet in the pants. I think that's a beautiful name. Jesus was fully human, as well as being fully God. He learned to walk like you learned to walk, the hard way. He learned to talk. He would crawl and stumble before he finally took the first step on his own. Although he probably never learned to swim, though someone told me he probably didn't need to learn how to swim since he could walk on water. But that's not true, you know, because Jesus never used a miracle for his own advantage. You know that because when he was 40 days in the desert hungry, he didn't turn the rocks into bread. He grew in weight. He grew in height. He grew in stature. He grew in muscle tone. Luke 2, verse 40 reminds us of that. As the child, as Jesus grew and became strong, he was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. He was a man who was born of a woman, born under the law, that is the law of God. His parents were just as concerned for his spiritual growth as for his physical growth. And so they would have taken him to the synagogue each Sabbath. They would have brought him up in the word of the Lord. They would have got him to memorize vast amounts of scripture, and they would have taken him to the regular festivals that were based around the temple in Jerusalem. And it was there as a teenager, 12 years old, Jesus in year 7, goes to his parents to the Passover, where they celebrate God's great saving act. And then his extended family goes back to Nazareth, except for the fact that mum and dad forgot about Jesus and only realized it about a day later. So they clearly weren't into attachment parenting, I think. It's a very hard thing to imagine that you could actually not realize your son is with you for a whole day. But eventually the penny drops and they realize they've left him behind in the city of Jerusalem. I remember when my son James was born. About a week later, we went to visit some family and We went to visit some friends, and James, we let James sleep in the bedroom upstairs of the friends we were staying with, and we had a great time, we had a great meal, we said goodbye, we went home, and as we were entering our own door, Sandy and I were thinking to ourselves, we're missing something. Keys, wallet, phone, baby. Sweet baby James. So we went all the way back up and picked him up. Which is not as bad as a friend of mine, true story, actually a friend of my wife's. She told the story about her mum had 5 kids, and they went from the shops into the car. She put away the pram, she went into the car and took off, and then realized that there's only 4 out of 5 children in the car. Pulls over, gets out of the car, goes to the boot, pulls out the pram, opens it up, and there's the baby. True story. Fortunately, it was in the 60s where prams were much bigger and you could gobble up a baby in a pram and not kill them. It's a true story. Well, I told you I don't know, but it's a true story. It was Joe and Mary took 3 days of searching around Jerusalem before they actually find Jesus. That's a long time. I mean, if you lived in the 21st century, you'd be calling up the cops and the missing unit real quick. And when they finally see Jesus, we're told that the teachers they find him in the temple. And we're told that the teachers of the law in the temple were astonished, not only at Jesus' questions, but his answers. His parents are astonished that he was there and there for so long, mindful that they were worrying about him. And I'm astonished that when they finally find Jesus, that they don't kill him. Because you know what it's like when you've been stressed out for 3 long days. So parents, take note of Joe and Mary's response to the loss of Jesus for 3 days. Dad says nothing, and Mum says this in verse 28 of chapter 2. Son, this is Mary, seeing Jesus for the first time after 3 days. Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. What? I reckon an average parent would have thrown them at the neck. But when he's the son of God, you probably want to back off. It was such an un-Maltese way of responding. But I tell you, Mary is a faithful servant of the Lord. And I reckon if ever there was a good argument for it, that's the verse. Well, though Jesus is fully God, he's also fully human. And he's growing in knowledge and understanding. He's asking questions as well as answering them. So in Luke 2:46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers, and when his parents saw him, they were astonished. If Jesus is in the business of asking questions as the Son of God, so must we be, if you're interested in learning about the things of God. So those of you who are in primary school or in middle school, Jesus is, if you're 12 years, anyone here 12 years old? Or in year 7? Okay, Jesus is your age at this point. And he's found in the temple asking the questions and speaking the answers. If you want to learn, if you want to grow in your knowledge of God, you need to be prepared to ask and learn and ask questions. You're never too young to learn and you're never too old to learn. You know, in the last 3 months, we've had the joy of seeing a 77-year-old man asking and learning about Jesus and coming to faith. We've had a 26-year-old woman asking and learning about Jesus and coming to faith. And we've had a 16-year-old teenager who's asked and come to faith. And what they all had in common is that none of them were too proud to say, I don't know, please teach me. Someone once said to me some months ago, they said, you know, I don't need to go to church anymore because I've read the Bible. I pretty much know everything there needs to be known. And I said, what? No, sorry, I thought to myself, I didn't actually say it. I thought to myself, really? I said, I went to Bible college for 4 years, studied the original language of Hebrew and Greek. I did a master's in theology. I read the Bible every day, and I still got heaps of questions. How do you think you can get to that point where you've mastered it? This is the first Christmas without my dad. He died several months ago. And my dad once said, he said, Ray, the ignorant man is not the man who doesn't know, it's the man who doesn't want to know. So if by chance, friends, you still don't know Jesus in the way that Sark has shared in a personal way, then please don't be too proud to put up your hand and saying, look, I think I need to know. I've got questions. I'd like some answers. Follow and imitate Jesus. And by the way, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, don't get to a point where you've stopped asking questions and stopped learning. Because you know Jesus died for your sins, you haven't arrived. You've arrived with respect to salvation, but there is so much more to learn. Keep learning. You're never too young to learn. You're never too old. And parents, please don't hold your kids back from learning. We've got one of the best kids program in the state. Heck, I'd go in Australia. I'd go so far as to say in the world. Now, it's not because I'm married to the person who runs the children's program. It's that people around Australia ask my wife to go and teach their children's workers. Don't keep your kids from learning and being following the example of Jesus, who at 12 was actually asking questions. Well, Jesus may have been asking questions out of the Bible, but you've got to understand this. He knew in the deepest core of his being that he was the Son of God, and he wasn't apologizing to Mum at all. It's a problem with having Jesus as your son. You're never going to win any argument. Chapter 2, verse 49. Jesus says back to his mum, why were you searching for me, he asked. Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. They should have understood. The angel Gabriel had made it very clear to Mary that the Spirit was going to come upon her and she was going to give birth to the Son of the Most High. The angel had told her. That temple that Jesus was in, it was God's house. And Jesus, he was God's son. And Mary, she's pretty much rebuked by Jesus at this point. Mary should have known. And she pieces it together, but slowly, and eventually the penny does drop for her. Jesus, fully God, becomes fully man, and yet is perfectly sinless through the whole procedure. Luke 2, verse 51. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And the next time we hear of Jesus is about age 30. He's not only physically matured as a man, he's now accepted as a man within Jewish society, able to teach the word of God. As a 30-year-old with eyes that have been clearly formed and ears and heart and mouthpieces that are able to now see and respond, we encounter Jesus. Let me now take you through Jesus' eyes to see what he saw, and through Jesus' mouth to hear what he has said. Let's ponder Jesus as a 30-plus. Now with eyes, what does he see? Through Jesus' eyes, he saw heaven open at his baptism and the Spirit come upon him as a dove. He saw men who feared God by the side of a lake, and he called them to himself to be his disciples, to be his learners. He saw the broken and the abused amongst the people of God, and his heart was filled with compassion. And so he taught them and he filled their stomachs with food. He saw the religious hypocrites saying one thing, doing another, and his heart was filled with righteous anger. He saw women who had lost a brother, and he sees their tears, and from his eyes come tears, as Sark has beautifully shared with us. From Jesus' mouth came words about the kingdom of God. He preached like no one else had preached before and announced that the kingdom of God had arrived and he was the king. From Jesus' mouth, he called on everybody, and I mean everybody, men, women, boys, girls, teenagers, to turn and to trust. From Jesus' mouth, he would command men to follow him, he would command demons to take a walk, and they would obey, and from Jesus' mouth, he would command the storms to be stilled, and they did. From his mouth, He would offer every sinner full pardon if only they would turn and trust in him. He would warn others that there was a hell and that it was hot and they needed to repent. He would be prepared to look you in the eye and say, you are badly mistaken, you are in error, you need to change your thinking. From his mouth, he would pray, and pray like nobody else. He would pray to his Father prayers of praise. He would pray to his Father for his followers. He would pray to his Father about his own concerns. He would pray to his Father for you. Did you realize that? 2,000 years ago, Jesus was praying for you. From his mouth would come, and it happened on a couple of occasions, spit. Spit. He would spit in the eyes of a blind man and heal him. He would put spit from his mouth on the tongue of a mute man and make him speak. The closest I ever get to it is spraying in the front row here, so sorry, guys. And from his mouth would come words that no one really wanted to hear, not his disciples, when he spoke about the fact that he had to go to Jerusalem and there in Jerusalem be rejected, be beaten, be spat on, be mocked, be humiliated, be killed, and then on the third day rise again. And then at the end of his life, as he's being interrogated, from his mouth comes absolutely nothing. The silence of God, the silence of Jesus, as he allows himself to be the lamb to the slaughter and take upon himself the sins of the world. All you hear from Jesus from the cross is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then with Jesus' hands, you see the way in which these two hands of his, these adult 30-year-old, 33-year-old hands developed, hands that would reach out to the sick and heal lepers and the broken, hands that would raise a dead girl, a 12-year-old dead girl back to life with the words, little girl, arise. For Jesus, everyone seemed to matter, whether you were young or old. He would take children in his arms and put his hands on them and bless them. From his hands would come healing, and from his hands would come salvation. Not once did Jesus ever raise his hands to harm a human being. And yet he would allow these hands of his that had formed after 33 years of life to receive nails and to be crucified. That fetus that was in the womb, slowly developing in the womb of a virgin, that became a baby and then a toddler, struggling to walk and talk, that developed into a 12-year-old boy asking questions and speaking, develops into a full-blown man who is then placed upon a cross and then stripped naked of his shame and stripped naked of his clothing. And there paying the price for the sins of the world. And God saw that the job had been done and the price had been paid. And God raised him back to life again, now with a new body, a resurrected body, placed at the right hand of the Father, from which he now rules the universe. Jesus, Lord, King, Savior, Judge of all the earth, Master and Husband of the Church. And now Jesus, from heaven, is being given resurrected eyes. And from heaven, he is looking at you this morning and loving you. From heaven, Jesus has got ears, hearing your cry of repentance, waiting for you to come to him. From Jesus' mouth comes the words, come to me, all of you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. With hands stretched out, he is waiting for you to take them if you haven't taken them, and to keep on holding on to them if in a moment of weakness you have let go. But perhaps you're guilty of what some of the followers of Jesus were guilty of in Mark 8 when Jesus said these warning words. Do you still not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? Don't you remember what I taught you? Please, friends, this Christmas day, use those God-given eyes of yours to see that he died on the cross for you. Use those God-given ears to hear this word, that God so loved you that he gave you his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him may not perish but have everlasting life. Use that God-given mouth of yours to say to Jesus, yes, you are a great Savior and I am a great sinner. Use those hands of yours to, as it were, reach out to him and hold on to him. For you were made for one reason, that you may hear God's word. Reach out to his Savior. Speak to the King of Kings and to speak for him. I wonder if you've done that yet. Why don't you just bow your heads at this point? And with your spiritual ears, why don't you attend to the fact that this very morning, the Spirit of Jesus is speaking to you now and asking you, calling on you to have ears to hear what he is saying, that you may grasp the hand of Jesus, that you may confess him as your Lord and Savior, and that you may see with the eyes of faith and trust that he died in your place. Friends, if you want to do that, then why don't you, with your mouth out loud, lay out loud if you need to, or in the heart, say these words with me. Dear Father, you have seen and heard and known of all my sins. Yet in spite of the grief I have caused you, you sent your dear Son to become a baby in the womb of a virgin and to grow to be the man who lived the life that I should have lived and died the death I deserve to die. With the eyes of faith, I trust you, Jesus, that you died in my place. With my ears, I hear your word and want to obey. With my hands, I reach out to you and want to reach out to you in both good days and in bad. And with my mouth, I confess that I have sinned against you, that I am a great sinner, and you, Lord Jesus, are a great Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends, I want to say, if you joined the family and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then know this: the judge of all the earth is your dad, heaven is your home, we are your family, and your God's Spirit dwells within you. Welcome to the family. I figured, you know, when Jesus was born, the angels gave him a round of applause. And whenever any sinner repents, the angels in heaven give us an applause. So why don't the rest of us applaud those who prayed that prayer for the first time right now? Friends, I would love you if you did that, or if you've got questions and you want to take up the opportunity of explaining Christianity course. Either way, why don't you just fill out the form that was the little welcome slip in the bulletin, and take the opportunity to fill it out, just even if you just put a name and a phone number, and we'll get in contact with you this week just to help you in your walk. For as Jesus physically had to learn how to walk, so you need to know how to walk in your newfound faith with Jesus. Merry Christmas, friends.